We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, to lift you higher, and in so doing, lift your people higher. It's our desire to love them as you've loved them. Now we pray for your grace to rest upon all of us, and to myself even now as an instrument of your grace. So, Father, lead me and guide me according to your truth and by the instrument of the Holy Spirit. For I know this, that I can do nothing of myself. But I can do all things through Christ. So I receive the grace and I receive the prayers of your people being manifest towards me now in your presence. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this threefold cord. And of course, what we're talking about here is your ministry together with others and how it complements. And even in diversity, how it will complement. One of the things that we've taught this a couple times recently. And the first part of it we taught on 1 Corinthians 12:28, and if you're not familiar with that, that's a verse to look up, to read. And if you'll talk to Kathy, maybe she knows that particular service where we address that. But that is the eight operations of God. And somewhere in that, you're involved. Your ministry, your call, what you've been birthed for. What your mama had you for. She didn't know she had you for that. But God had a plan for you. And I can say that all of you are called to at least two of those eight operations, and sometimes two to three. But all of you have a significant, significant purpose once you've been born again. Amen? And we even learned some more about that Sunday. We talked about being ambassadors and being sent ones, and how that our words have power, and how that we're supposed to be meditating our words, and how that we can lean on the spirit man on the inside of us and pull up well-worthy words that will minister grace to the hearer. Well, this is another area. This is your call we're talking about tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:28, which we're not turning to right now. We've ministered there before. It lists the five offices, ministerial gifts, the pulpit gifts, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, the teacher, the apostle. And then it goes into helps, and governments, and last of all, it lists diversities of tongues. And diversities of tongues is the one. In it saying diversity means there's more than one. So we've taught on this before, but there's at least, we know, four diversities of tongues. And one of those diversities is the tongue for self-edification. And that's the one that you can liberally do all the time, as much as you want. It is the fire starter. That's the one I know that every single one of you are called to do. That's the one that I wasn't, please remember this. And I'll say it. When I talk about people who don't pray in tongues, I'm not demeaning them. And it's not even the person I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spirit that has taken that valuable, valuable thing out of the heart of the church. And it's a travesty, because all these people that love God, they love God. But how much more could the Holy Spirit work in their lives if that one valuable tool? It was never meant to be separate. It was never meant to be an either or. Like, well, let's see, now that I'm saved, okay, let me think about it for a while, and then the baptism of the Spirit in the book of Acts was always immediate. As soon as you got saved, they were ready to get you filled with the Spirit. There was just a 1-2 punch. I mean, it was like bread and butter. Once you got saved, then you got the power of the Spirit to do, the works of the ministry. But one of the things that we find out about that is that it is the fire starter. It is the seedbed. It's the match that starts everything else. It's listed in 1 Corinthians 12:28 as the last. And therefore, a lot of times we'll talk about it being a simple gift. Simple meaning it's the bottom rung of the ladder. But it's so important, because what it does is it feeds with fire, inspiration, compass, as in being the thing that steers you and lets you know who you are and what you're about. In other words, the more you pray in other tongues, once you are filled, it eventually will bring an illumination process to your heart and to your mind. Not that you just feel it, but you know in your mind who you are and what you're about. Like, I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And we've taught extensively in the past the different calls. So people understand, if I'm called to the ministry of helps, what does helps mean? And that word takes on a far different meaning in this church and many of the churches that we're affiliated with and teach in than a lot of places. In the ministry of governments and the ministry of diversity of other tongues. One of those is, as I said, self-edification. But another one of those is Romans 8:26, the deep groanings of the Spirit. And many of you women and many of you men are called to bring forth intercession. I mean, you feel like that's just your call. You're going to stay with the horns of the altar and you're just going to keep praying and seeking God until something changes. And more importantly, the thing that we want to see changed is we want to see an atmosphere over Immokalee and revival. Amen? So there's those eight operations, which are eight callings, in which all of you are called to at least two of those. But here we're going to read a scripture here again. We've talked about the individual ministry of the Holy Spirit and how that He individualizes you. And the first thing in finding out who you are and what you're about, and most importantly, even after you know what your call is, you've got to be empowered. You've got to have the grace to go out and do what you've been called to do. And there's only one that can supply that, and that's the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So as I, just to put this real simple, as I pray daily and as I utter the mysteries, and sometimes I don't, you know, all the time, unless He reveals it to me, I don't know what I'm praying, but I'm just going to give you an example. I'm going to tell you I'm going to do this in preface. If I pray in tongues like this, by my own volition, and I spend a couple of hours doing that, I'm working the plan of God in my life. And we've given you ample scriptures to back that up. What that's doing is it's working a point in destiny for me. But it's also revealing that destiny inside of me, so I'm working with that destiny. So it does. I don't just stumble into it. I see myself as a reflection of that future point of where I'm headed. Like some of you entrepreneurs, you see God calling you out there to accomplish great things. But the greatest thing is that you know who you are. Because if you didn't know who you are, you're floundering in life. You're floundering. You're just wondering, well, God, use me somehow. Use me. When you get real, when God can get real specific with you and tell you what you are. See, this is the thing that's most important around here. I'm not supposed to tell anybody who they are, what your call is. If you're born again, filled with the Spirit, the most important thing is that I can teach you is how to derive that, how to get to the place where this illumination brings you to a place where you say, Pastor Brock, I'm this. I know I am. And it's so amazing because once you know who you are, you live that. You don't have to go around pronouncing it. That's just who you are. Your whole life in Christ circumvents around that, and you start doing the things that you are. If you're a prayer warrior, you don't go announcing that. It just starts, you know, those works start circumventing themselves around your life. If you're called to the ministry of helps, which is the person who is called, the simplicity of given, the coinciding scripture with that is in Romans 12, which calls that person, or calls that office, the simplicity of giving. They not only will have a desire to give, God will begin to endow inside of them all the innovations to create this wealth to give. The fivefold, that's the five ministry gifts. All of those will show up on your limbs as you begin to pray. And most importantly, as you pray in other tongues, and this is what we've taught in the past, you're the one that'll come to gravitate and start teaching you, you're this. This is who you are. There's no forms for me to give you to fill out and let me classify your personality. Let me go look at your personality. Are you type A, type B, type C? I don't know. Because I don't even know what those, you know. I just hope you're not bipolar. You know, Dave calls that two polar bears saying bye to each other. If you are, you can get deliverance and with love. I'm not saying that meaning. You can get deliverance with love. But as the Holy Spirit prays for you, He prioritizes things. And one of the first things that He'll begin to prioritize is not just all the headaches you have, but He's always taking you to a bigger and a better day, which is showing you your ministry and who you are. So the first thing is this, the first understanding of you working as a cord, let me say a cord in the church or a ministry, let's equate the cord with the ministry, and you're going to help this is the kingdom of God here. We're not trying to build a ministry. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. But you say, I want to add my cord. I want to add what I've got to this house. Well, the first thing that you can do, and the best thing that you can do, is not a pronouncement of a pastor over you or an ordination of like, I think you're this. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful. The more I pray in tongues and the more other people pray in tongues, it gets real easy to see. It just gets real, the evidence. I had an occasion here just recently to meet with some men, and the first time in my life, it was so perfect. You know, in that sense, the word, where it was like, if these guys would have, if the Holy Spirit had had neon signs, it would have went, you know, one of these little, you know, things that they, the guys at Publix where they punch the cans and they put the stickers on top of them, you know. If these guys had had neon signs on their forehead, it would have not been, you know, more evident to me what they were. You know, I was talking to these guys and there was four or five ministry of helps in the room and it was like, helps. There was two other fivefold offices in the room, and then there was a government gift in the room, and it was like none of them asked me what am I, and I could have said you're this and this, and it would have been thus saith the Lord. I mean, it was just that's how clear it was. But the thing I like the most is the guys that are and the ladies too that are coming up in Christ. You just know who you are because you spend enough time with Him, and you know that's your call. That's your call. And as long as you're mixed up, He doesn't want you to be mixed up. He wants you to know what your call is. You just keep praying, because there's breakthroughs for you where all of that haze kind of goes away and the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And there's a great joy in knowing what your office and what your call is and how you add that to the church. Hallelujah. But having said that about the individual, how the individual comes to the place, let me talk about how you as an individual, once you've come to the place where you know what you are, you know, then you begin to take the steps to join yourself in a more definite way to the body of Christ. And let's look at what Solomon was saying here in the book of the Ecclesiastes. Now, this is a real peculiar book. I will say that it's a very powerful book. If you don't read this book through several times, you do yourself a terrible injustice. It sounds like he's contradicting everything he said in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, because he really rejoices in the book of Proverbs concerning you being able to make money and get rich. And then in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's telling you that all riches is just vanity. You know, it's just vanity. But if you'll take one thing and interpret Ecclesiastes with, this is a man who is going through repentance. And it's a man who is saying this. He's saying this in simplicity. Everything without God being the center of your life is not worth it. It's vanity. If you can have in the earlier chapter, before, if we were going to read it, he talks about, I had this, I had that, I had everything. He just names, he said, I was the richest, and basically I was the richest man on planet Earth. But he said, if you don't keep Christ, or if you don't keep God the center of your life, you're miserable with all of it. So basically he was saying all of the teachings of the book, this was at the repentance part of Solomon's life, when Solomon went through all of his, you know, he had 600 wives, 400 concubines, all this. I mean, whatever. It might have been reversed. I'd have to look that up. But nevertheless, he had too many women in his life. And it wasn't their fault. It was a problem he had. But he left God out. But that's another teaching. But this is the word of the Lord. These are good sayings here. These are from the heart of God. Look at verse... we were going to go to 12, but we can back up a little bit, because we're going to talk a little bit about your ministry together with ministries in the church. Verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will help up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. So we're just going to pause right there to say this. If there's anything the Holy Spirit wants you to receive tonight, is to understand this. Not only are you called, but your calling is not, it's not a lone ranger calling. Your calling is something that has to do with getting involved with other people. Did you hear that? Because there's a strength that we get together that we don't have on our own. I'm learning like never before to ask you to pray for me. I'm asking you to get to the place, and many of you are already there, to hope and pray. Ask God to put you on the hearts of other people. And ask people that are in leadership or people that you know that are spiritual to pray for you. I know this. I can make it on my own spiritually as far as serve God, fellowship with God, and have inner peace with God. But to fulfill everything that He wants me to do for this revival, I need your intercession. I need you pulling with me. I need you pulling with me past my faults and past my failures. I need to pull with you past your faults and past your failures. Hallelujah. We've said this before, and it bears repeating. You're never going to have the best, you know, in ministry until you know the worst about people that are righteous and are moving forward. You know, they're trying. You know the worst about them, but it doesn't affect you going forward with them. Amen? Until you can get in there and you know, rub shoulders and bind your cords together. You know, what would a football team be like? You know, if one of the star players, you know, he misses his assignment, and he just walks over to the coach, and the coach says, what are you doing? You know, why weren't you in the scrum? Why weren't you in the pile of bodies that were out there? I mean, you're supposed to be in all that mess. Well, coach, you know, those guys, I'd really like to. I'm a skilled player. But I'll tell you, those guys, they've got B.O. They stink. Every time I come to the line with them, and every time I'm, you know, every one of them sweaty. They've got body odor. And number 44, I don't know what he ate for supper last night, but he's got a bad case. The world will pull together. The church doesn't like it when you're running alongside somebody that you're supposed to be binding your ministry with, and they got a little stink on them sometimes. We gotta put our sweat together. When we got to put our B.O. together. That sounds a little bit like Homer talk. I better back up here. But we've got to pull together. We've got to go forward together. And it's got to be not in the sense of... Now, I'm not talking about blatant sin. I'm talking about getting past the parts that are in the process of dying and keep going forward for the work of the ministry. Amen? Hallelujah to Jesus. All things through you, Lord. It says the two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one, this is an essence what it's saying, for if they or one fall, the one will help up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. See, a lot of times people don't want to get into the inner workings of something because, I'll discover something. Yeah, you may discover something. But what you may discover is something about you that needs to be changed. Again, verse 11, if two lie together, and this is not a sexual connotation, it says if two lie together, it's talking about the heat provided against the elements, then they have heat. But how can one be warmed alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Can you say amen to that? So, we've just been using that verse to say this. The more that you supernaturally begin to bind your ministry, one of the things that we said in that time, that lesson we were talking about when I said I saw the vision, the inner vision of the war room, and I was looking at us going in and taking a nation on planet Earth, and we were able to look at these schematics and say, there's a place, and to turn to governments and say, how long will it take to devise the plan to go there and to helps? What can we do? What will it take? How many millions will it take? How many billions if necessary? And then to also say immediately to the intercessors, what we need is we need all three of these cords interwoven, because we need you praying for these in governments that are figuring out the mind of Christ to how to get this done, and praying for the millionaires or the ministry of helps to bring this all in. See, this is what he wants in this last day. He wants the church, and only the Holy Spirit can do it. Standing up here, I can't do it. We can't even put it on charts. You listen, well, let's all put it on charts and sign our name to it. It won't work. It takes you. And then we've done this lesson, and that's why I would like, my spirit keeps wanting to go back to it, although that's not where he wants me to go. It's all in the Holy Spirit. And it's all in the fire starter to not only reveal to you what you are, but to also to empower you in what you're doing, and to take your gift and to bind it with, okay, I'm in the ministry of helps, so I must really run over here and depend on Barbara and say, Barbara, please pray for me this week. Or for the next 2 months, there's a business deal that's working. I need all the intercessors. Will you mobilize the intercessors to pray? I know it's going to go through, but if it goes through without a glitch, it'll make millions for the kingdom, and we'll be able to turn around in 6 months, have millions turned over here for the kingdom. Governments and helps working together. And this is not orchestrated by man. It has to work through the Holy Spirit. Him and Him alone. But what he wants you to understand tonight, if there's anything that he can get across to you, is this. You've already been empowered by the one who shows you who you are. And you've already been empowered if you use the instrumentation. Isn't it great to know that this is not just a vague, go find it and come and tell me what you found? There's one who, if you pray in tongues, there's one who will pronounce to you, you are called for this, my son, my daughter. He'll not only pronounce that to you, it'll emanate to your mind and spirit. It'll also be shown to others who are elders. Like I said, when I saw those guys, I could have went around with a and said, you're this, 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 and this. Because it's just who they are. It's just what they talk. It's just what they live. It's just what they say. That's who you're never going to get somebody not saying what they are if they're called and they've been around the church. You know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just trying to. You got a guy that he doesn't give. I'm not talking about he doesn't give because he doesn't have a job. You know, I'm just talking about he doesn't give. He doesn't talk about giving. He doesn't really, he doesn't really care nothing. There's never a tear when you're talking about. And then him to come up and say, "Well, I'm called to the ministry of helps to give." No, you're not. No, you're not. Whatever you are just comes out eventually. Well, I'm an intercessor. How much you pray in tongues? Well, I don't pray in tongues too much, and I don't really pray too much, but I'm an intercessor. No, you're not. You are who you are. That sounds redundant, but it's true. I'm in the ministry of government. Really? And you can't even organize your closet. I'm not in the ministry of government. You can't even give directions to the handy, and you're in the ministry of governments. Yeah, Matt's surrendering back there too. Yes, I'm in the ministry of governments. Your left shoe's on your right foot. You're not in the ministry of governments. You are who you are. That endowment from God just emanates. It just comes out. And so that is all a truth. Now the next truth is this. What we need to have is the continual prayer is that God will help us take our gifts and bind them together by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now how do we do that? Now that's also in prayer. How many of you ever thought they've ever heard a message about prayer around here? Why? Because everything starts and ends in Him. But I'm telling you this, as you pray for one another, and this all is headed towards one place, praying for one another, interceding for one another, because as I take my cord, my strand, whether I'm standing here as fivefold, or let's take helps, governments, intercessors, those three cords, once they're bound together, they make a tremendous cord that Solomon says it's not easily broken. That's what we're wanting, is something so strong that can't be broken and takes us into revival. But the consciousness of it is this, you learning who you are, knowing that He's continually endowing you, but then the more you begin to pray for others, now I can tell you this, there may be, and this is not even a, you're going to have a natural inclination to pray for everybody in the church. The more time you spend with Him. Sometimes you'll have an inclination to pray for more, sometimes, for those that are called to your particular calling and office. Because you're interceding for them, that office comes to, you know, fruition, to fullness in the church. To the fullness of the church. That will not negate the fact that God will call on you to pray for a myriad of needs, but you see that other sisters or other brothers are called to that ministry, you know the fight they're going through. It's indigenous to you. You know the fight they're going through. So it touches your heart what they're going through because you know that the enemy is fighting them on that level. Now, having a lot of money is not, clarifying where we were at a while ago, you can be going through a hard time and not have much money and be called to make millions. But the clarification of what I said a while ago, that person will still be talking about, God, I can't wait till I can give it all. Because that's their heart. They might not have 2 cents to rub together, but I can tell you if they're an entrepreneur or not, they're wanting to give it, they're wanting to lay it all on the line. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Solomon says that this threefold cord cannot be. What does he want us to do? Well, mainly it'll help fellowship. And we've talked about fellowship. I think we're weak in that. I understand we are. That just doesn't bother me because we're doing the better. We're going to improve on this. We're going to improve on this. But I can tell you this. Your prayers one for another. And even especially in those areas of those callings around you where you say, I recognize that person. I think they've got the same call I do. I'm going to really lift them up because we need to all birth this together. Proverbs 17:17 says this. You can write this down. It says, a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Hallelujah. Man, Otto, you are my friend. You know what you were sent here for? For my adversity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Marty, I appreciate you being here. We're going to have some good times in the revival, but you're here for my adversity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what you were birthed for. A friend loveth at all times. Now, coach, I'm not getting in there. That right guard doesn't have right guard on. He stinks. You know, those guys, those big hunk of men. They're not sissies. They're rubbing their sweat all over each other. They're rubbing dirt all each over. Their bodies, now I'm not being vulgar, their bodies are entangled. And they're playing some game. The church, if we have any smell of imperfection, we want to say, I don't want to touch you. Because you remind me too much of myself. Hallelujah. I don't like it when this guy goes from teaching to preaching. I'm just Proverbs 18:24 says this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you see where the burden of friendship is? A man that has friends must show himself friendly. They say the burden of communication is on the communicator. I don't like this. I'd rather it be on you. But they say that if you don't understand what I'm saying, it's my fault. I guess that's true. But if you don't have friends, you know whose fault it is? It's yours. It's yours. Well, nobody likes me. I know, and I can tell you the reason why. If you come in and you go out and you don't talk and you say, God, why doesn't anybody communicate with me? The burden of friendship is on you making yourself friendly. Well, that's good teaching. I didn't know. It's the burden of you getting involved in this other part of the threefold cord ministry is you say searching out, well, will they come and get, why don't you find where your niche is and get involved in that niche and seek out to pray. I'm telling you, if you start praying for certain ministries, if that's your ministry, it'll so evolve in you that people just, they'll just, you know, you'll have like what Christ was saying Sunday, you'll have words of life. You'll have words of life. They'll be meditated words. And if you're a ministry of helps, you'll say things that everybody in that group, men or women, because the women are called to it too. So it'll be powerful. So powerful. Let's turn over to James. Chapter 5, we could stop for just a moment in the book of Acts, but we don't have to. We'll just make mention of it as we're going through there because we've said this so many times before. There was something supernatural taking place in the beginning part of the book of Acts, wasn't there? That revival started, and every Friday night we talk about Gay confesses a confession with us. In fact, we have it on our confessionary sheet, and it says, and a great grace was on the church. Now, that great grace was not just in giving, but that great grace was in the communion that was among the brethren. And it's the word koinonia, and it means a fellowship of the Spirit, but it was something supernatural. And then I think there's two places in those first few chapters, like three or four or five, where it talks about they were daily from house to house breaking bread, and they had singleness of heart. And a great grace was on the... Now, I like the eating part. And I like the talking part. But it was supernatural. Why? Because their cords were getting fastened together. And they were praying in tongues, and their cords were getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and their callings were getting stronger. Listen, I like to have fellowship, but I like to have supernatural fellowship. I like to enjoy the time. Because I can tell you this, we can have 18 fellowships. We can have one every Sunday, and everybody still fight. Because it happens all the time. Fellowship alone, but when the koinonia of the Holy Ghost, when you're... Now, we haven't arrived, but when the this isn't us anyway, but the foundation is Christ. And I only know one way to get to that foundation. It's not sit around and talk about it. It's to pray. I don't know any other way. You show me another way, I don't know it. I mean, prayer, you say, well, the Word, well, I consider Word and prayer the same thing. I mean, it's me in the Word and praying as I go along. But there's only one way to know where you're walking at. And so as we get together and as we talk the Word and fellowship in the Word, you know, this is what they were doing in the book of Acts. But going off of this scripture in 17:17 of Proverbs, where it says a brother was born for adversity, look here what James says in the New Testament. Boy, some misunderstood scriptures here in the past, how the things have been misconstrued. It says, verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Boy, I like this, don't you? Verse 13, it says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. What a simple thing. And that affliction will break down. If you study, I bet it'll break down several different ways. Physically, mental oppression, all kinds. That's the remedy. It really is. Now, I'm not against talking to you, because I've had to be talked to several times myself. And I will minister to you. But I'm telling you this, the remedy for all things is just spending time with presence with God, with Abba God. And James called that. And James says, any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, these are men and women who've stood the test of time. That's why it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. You know? And it's not talking about a grace line where you say, oop, I should slow down here. My ushers are not catching up. It's not what it's talking about. He's talking about don't ordain people too quick. Don't put your hands and say, you know, don't let them come in, you know, 2 weeks, and you say, oh, man, I understand you were doing such and such over so and so. Yeah, yeah, I'm smart. I'm a government gifts. Oh, would you help me out? Okay, would you do this? You know we don't operate that way. He said, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, those of that have stood the test. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. We said something about oil Sunday, didn't we? With oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save, or interpreted heal, the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if, now it does say if, make sure you know that. It says if he's committed sins. Doesn't say he did just because he was sick. If he's committed sins, and it's known by the elders, it says they shall be forgiven him. So forgiven by God, and of course forgiven by the church. Those men and women that are standing over and praying, they're not holding anything. So God's forgiven, so they're forgiven too. So, and he says, confess your faults. Now, remember, don't get away from the fact that he's called the elders forward. He's called them forward in this man's behalf or this woman's. So we're still talking about the spiritually mature when he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Well, Pastor, I think we should have a confession service. Fat chance. You'll not get one of them around this church forever. You want a division? Well, I told so-and-so about my faults, and it turned out, well, they weren't an elder. They weren't the elder that he was qualifying. In fact, when you understand the person he's asking you to pray, confess your faults, this person was a person that was on the inside with you, so much so that they could commit themselves to an effectual, a deep, I'm talking about a shallow, not a shallow, an effectual, deep, effectual, fervent. I mean, they'd stay there for you. You're not going to get that standing up and confessing your fault like that. But this was an inside work that you were talking to an elder, somebody that carried a weight of authority, that they'd stand with you against hell, and they wouldn't even condemn you of your fault. Well, does this make sense about the threefold cords, though? Where we're going with each other? And he says here, but I like this. He says in verse 15, the Greek in the New, Hebrew in the Old, Greek says sins. It does say iniquities, blatant sins. But when it says verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that word faults, the first part of it, goes on to say even something else, but the first part of it I like because I suspicion this. It says unintentional sins or unintentional acts. Didn't even say sins the first part. It said unintentional. Confess your faults one to another. Remember, this is not before the church. This isn't the privacy of an elder. And it doesn't mean a title. This elder may be your best friend. And it may be you may be an elder. But it may be you and an elder and you're getting together and saying, look, I'm going forward and I'm fighting hell on every front. And these are the things I recognize about myself. The more I fight, the more I realize I'm still not perfected in His love or faith. Would you pray for me? Because I want to fulfill my ministry. I want to fulfill my ministry. Confess your... It even said, I wrote it down in the Greek, the side slip. It said unintentional... Oh, that was it. Unintentional error. Just a side slip. An unintentional error to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Because look how what this guy's got invested in it that you're asking. The effectual fervency of their prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And just so you'll know if you're the person doing the praying or who you're going to ask to pray for you in the fault. He says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It means it produces. I want my prayers to produce. So either if you're the one that's about to do this or the one that you're standing there with an elder and asking them, what you're believing their capabilities are or what you're believing your capabilities are make a difference in the faith of this thing. Because He even establishes for us what righteousness or what kind of a right... He gives us a prime example. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In the next verse, He gives us an example of what kind of righteous man He's talking about. He said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. What is He saying here? He's saying he's subject to same kind of oopses like you and I. That's what He's saying. He's saying the same thing, the faults, unintentionals. He said He was subject to, just so you don't think that everybody that you're in koinonia with, the threefold cord, if you think, look, this thing's going to have to happen. If you think this thing's going to happen by getting people to pray with you and agree with you, they're living in crystal cathedrals that have no faults, and that those are the kind of people that are going to make it, your prayers effectual to where that they're going to get you and themselves over into revival, we're not going to have revival. But He showed us that these people, like Elijah, who had, He said, subject passions, he had some faults. Now, He called him a righteous man. These were unintentional. This is not the guy who's got a foam mustache from drinking his second six-pack and says, I know I got some faults, but I'm going to pray for you. No, that guy intentionally got in his car, intentionally went to the handy, intentionally bought that six-pack, and is intentionally drinking it. This is not the guy who has internet problems, who's going to www BeNasty.com. That's not the guy that's going to... No. This is the guy who's walking into Christ, but doesn't like the parts that are still unchanged to the full image of Christ, but yet their faults are not intentional, but they're the cords that you're binding with and saying, they'll make a difference in my life. Glory to God. Oh, this is good stuff. Glory to God. About preached everybody out of here that had to go home. And look at what power he had. He had like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly. This is what that person's doing. This elder's praying for you, or you may be that elder praying. The person praying for you may have faults, and you that are doing the praying may have faults, but you can still make a difference. So much so that he said Elijah had faults, and he prayed earnestly, and it didn't rain. It rained not on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and it brought forth the rain. Hallelujah. How much more in this new nature can we bind together and say, look, you know, and you know the other side of this. If a person's got any of those other things that I described, they can get forgiven too. But I'm talking about on another level. I'm talking about revivalists that are going forward and saying, look, I'm praying for you in your call. Will you pray for me? You know, we don't know how to get past the devil right now in certain areas of our giving, or in certain areas of making, you know, because I can tell you this, those that are called to the ministry of helps, you know, they said misery likes company. And now I don't like for you to have a hard time. I'm just kidding about that. But anything that I, the level that I or any man or woman of God that aspires to go through and go into seeing little kids get out of wheelchairs, anybody that has a full call of the ministry of helps or governments or any of them that does their job to the full measure, but especially getting past that God of mammon, you're going to have to be as dead as I am. And I'm not saying I'm the epitome. Some of you may be deader than me. Pray for me. Pray for me that I can die. But guess what? When we get there, it's like a breaking of a dam. Once we get through, we'll be through by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Did you get anything? Hallelujah. Thank you for being so patient. Amen. But we got some good word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the grace of God tonight and for all these that are patient. And Father, we know we're going someplace. We know that, especially myself, I know I've not arrived. And the more I find myself in your presence, the more I feel undone without you. I'm asking you to guide me, lead me, forgive me for those places where I often fail in walking the full measure of your love. Father, I thank you for the grace of God, which is sufficient. And I commit myself unto your keeping and to the final end of all this. And Father, I thank you for your people, for everybody that's here tonight. And may the grace of God abound on them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we're going to pass out the buckets. And I think this will be our last act of obedience here. So if you have something that you'd like to share in the giving tonight, so we'll just ask you to prepare it right now. Maybe we'll just take this moment too. Father, thank you. Your grace. Whew, every time I hear grace, I hear Gay saying, great grace. And I say, great grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you for that great grace that's on this house. Not only do the blind see and the lame walk, but Father, we have ample thousands and thousands, no, millions and Reuben, I'd have to probably correct me in some of these billions. Billions, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we have all the money necessary for this great outpouring. So, Father, speak to our hearts again and again. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, are you glad? Amen. Would you stand with us?